Scientific knowledge about a particular chemical's potential to harm people can be derived from a number of sources. Scientists may be able to infer the likely toxic properties of a chemical on the basis of detailed studies of other similar compounds. In addition or separately, laboratory tests on rats or other animals may provide insight into whether a chemical may be carcinogenic or otherwise harmful. Another form of study is to track the effects of actual human exposure to a chemical over a long period of time. Such studies offer the promise of high accuracy, but are by their nature slow and expensive. In the case of DINP, by the early 2000s, a number of scientific and animal studies had been conducted about its possible impact on human health, but there were no long-term human studies. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention had discovered one striking fact by randomly examining humans. About 3 out of 4 people tested had some phthalates in their systems. The chemicals had become so ubiquitous in household and consumer products that they had become, in effect, a part of the human ecosystem. If it turned out that they were unsafe, it would be a real concern. On DINP in particular, the findings of animal studies, including one rat study carried out by ExxonMobil scientists at their own laboratory in New Jersey, were not particularly alarming, but the results were in some respects ambiguous, and their implications were disputed. Male rats exposed to phthalates in utero later exhibited abnormalities in their reproductive organs. This led some researchers to conclude that phthalates could interfere with testosterone. Some researchers and non-governmental health lobbyists, such as those at the Breast Cancer Fund, feared that DINP might interfere with the development of reproductive organs if very young children were exposed as their bodies developed. In 1998, public interest health groups filed a petition at the Consumer Product Safety Commission demanding that it ban DINP in children's toys and issue a national advisory about the threat to child health. The commission opened a review. Its staff scientists concluded initially that regulation of phthalates was worthy of additional future consideration because of the way DINP seemed to act on human development, but that more studies are needed. The commission next convened a study known in Washington speak as a CHAP, a Chronic Hazard Advisory Panel. The panel acknowledged concerns about the genetic or reproductive effects of massive DINP exposure, but concluded that the actual exposure children might experience was so low as to be of negligible risk. The full commission voted in 2002 to deny the petition to ban DINP from toys. Throughout the commission's review, ExxonMobil scientists and lobbyists argued that DINP was safe enough to be used because the dangerous dosages seen in the rat studies were much, much higher than those that would realistically be encountered by children. The only way young children would be likely to absorb DINP through toys would be by mouthing, teething on, or swallowing the toys. Baby bottle nipples and teething rings typically were made from rubber or latex because those materials provided a more natural feel. They generally contained no phthalates. To follow up on this issue, after the pro-DINP vote, Consumer Product Safety Commission scientists sponsored an observational study in which they watched babies and toddlers handle rubber ducks and other toys to see just how often they stuck the toys in their mouths. They reaffirmed the commission's earlier finding that even the most oral children would not be at risk. A person would have to eat more than 3,400 rubber ducks made with DINP over their lifetime to exceed safe DINP exposure limits. PowerPoint slides left behind on Capitol Hill by ExxonMobil lobbyists declared. If you took water and saturated it with DINP, an infant would have to drink more than 41,500 gallons to exceed safe DINP exposure limits. Given the lack of definitive human studies, phthalate regulation presented a test case pitting those, such as the authors of ExxonMobil's PowerPoint slides, who favored traditional risk analysis philosophies, against those who favored the precautionary principle. Of course, even advocates of the latter had to make judgments about how much risk from a particular chemical was severe and irreversible enough to demand costly government action. In the case of phthalates, the issue was complicated by the fact that some versions of the compounds, those with low molecular weight, clearly were dangerous to human health, whereas the evidence about DINP, which had a high molecular weight, was more favorable. It required a knowledgeable and careful regulator or congressperson to hold in mind the subtle distinctions among different phthalates. In Europe, the precautionary principle won out. Although a European Chemicals Bureau study found that no risk reduction was required for DINP, in 2005, the European Union nonetheless banned the compound from children's toys that could be placed in the mouth. Politics, not science, is the reason, the ExxonMobil PowerPoint slides circulated in Washington complained. Politics, however, was in fact a synonym for the rise of the precautionary principle as a popularly supported basis of chemical regulation in Europe, and there was little reason to believe that philosophy would remain sequestered there. American environmental and public interest health groups had discovered, for their part, that it was easiest to import European regulations inspired by the precautionary principle into the United States by starting first in the legislatures of more liberal states, California and Vermont, for example. The city of San Francisco formally adopted the precautionary principle as a framework for local regulations in 2003. The city's environmental regulators discovered Europe has banned chemicals that the U.S. had not, a city environmental regulator recalled. We said, if other governments have taken precautionary actions, then we can take that action as well. San Francisco next adopted a phthalate ban that precisely mirrored the European ban. Legislators in the state capital of Sacramento promptly introduced proposals for a statewide phthalate ban. The Breast Cancer Fund, the Public Interest Research Group, the Natural Resources Defense Council, and other public interest health lobbies jumped in. Scientists and advocates at these groups had followed the phthalate issue since their failed effort to win a DINP ban at the Consumer Product Safety Commission during the late Clinton administration. The phthalates issued offered a way to highlight the broken chemicals policy system that we have, to get people to pay attention to it, because it's toys, it's things babies are putting into their mouths, recalled Gretchen Lee Salter, a policy manager at the Breast Cancer Fund. California legislators, urged on by public interest advocates like Salter, enacted the European Union standard in 2007. Minnesota, Connecticut, and Vermont legislators moved to do the same.